Welcome to The Review with Joy & Company, featuring conversations with best-selling authors and hot reviews with the authors you choose. We're inspiring the world through Christian literature. Stay tuned in. We'd like to know, what are you reading?
Review. I'm Joy, and as always, I am delighted to be in the midst of your company. Now, we're saying welcome back to some of you and hello for the first time to others. So I hope we can all catch up and catch up with one another, because we've got a great second hour to dig into. But before we jump into the stream, we'll say hello to Rose Lewis.
Good evening again.
And Rosemary LeGrand.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back.
Well, it is Marvelous Monday, and we're still streaming live from Globe Life Park here in Arlington, Texas, powered by the awesome Fishbowl Radio Network. And we are jumping in the stream tonight with Regina Stone Matthews. We'll be talking about her new book, and I'm telling you guys, it's a good one. If the story fits, tell it. Now, Regina is no stranger to The Review. She is an award-winning author of children's books, nonfiction short stories. She lives right here in the Texas, and she's not originally from Texas, though. She comes to us by way of Columbia, South Carolina, actually, but she's a Texan now, no doubt. And we just love her. She's won several awards with the Christian Literary Awards, and it's because she's such an excellent writer, and it gives me great pleasure not only to welcome her to The Review, but to call her friend. Regina, thank you for coming by tonight.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, me too. I'm excited about this new book. It's a very different twist for you. Just give us a little synopsis. Tell us about If the Story Fits, Tell It.
So I was going to tell you how I got involved in oral storytelling.
Okay.
And it's a really cute story. So if the story fits, I'm going to tell it.
All right.
When David and I first moved to Dallas, we came here from Atlanta, and we were very active in our church there. So when we got here, we immediately wanted to find another church to get involved with, and we did finally. And I thought, well, I want to get involved in something. I want to do something. So I decided to get involved with Caring Ministries, okay?
Yes.
And part of Caring Ministries with our church was going and visiting elderly people in assisted living facilities. So I thought, oh, I can do that. So they sent me all the information about doing this, and I thought, I needed a degree in how to talk to elderly people in assisted living facilities. I thought, this is going to be crazy. But I went, and I was very scared, very nervous. Well, I met this precious, precious lady, and she and I just hit it off. Her name was Margie. She has since passed away, but I got really attached to her, and she got really attached to me. And so, but let me tell you something. She had more energy than I ever thought of having. She was in a book club. She was in the Red Hats Society.
Oh, my.
And she also belonged to an organization called the Women's Center of Richardson. So she was a wave during World War II, and they had asked her to come and give a little talk on being a wave during World War II. Mm-hmm. So she said, I want you to go with me. And I said, okay. So I did, and we went. You know, I would take her there, and we would go. But this one particular day that I took her, that she was talking, I met this wonderful lady. She says, I want you to meet someone. Her mother is in Apple Tree with me, and I just want you to meet her because I think you'll like her. And so I met this wonderful lady named Minetta, And we just hit it off, and I started talking to her, and I said, so, what do you do? And she said, well, I'm a retired librarian. She said, but I'm also a storyteller. And I said, oh, you mean like you write stories or what? She goes, no, I'm an oral storyteller. She said, and I belong to the North 40 Storytellers Guild, and I'd love for you to come. She said, what do you do? And I said, well, at that time, I was just writing children's books. So she says, oh, you have to come. You have to come. So I said, okay, I'll come. And I just sat there. I was so mesmerized. I could have sat there for 12 hours and just listened to these wonderful people telling these amazing stories. And that was 9 years ago. And I've been going ever since. We're now meeting on Zoom because of our friend, the COVID.
Yes.
And so anyways, I've been going there for a long time. And 1 year, they all went crazy and asked me to be the rising star for the Guild at the Tejas Storytelling Festival.
Yes.
And I thought they'd lost their minds. I was very... very new, and I thought, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. What can I tell? I'm going to be talking in front of all these people, and what could I possibly say? And so I decided that I would tell the story of when my mother put me on the Howdy Doody show. And it went up really well, and I was very excited to tell it. And so that's how I got into oral storytelling, and it's just been a wonderful experience. So I thought, why don't I just maybe try and write something that kind of introduces people to oral storytelling? You know, nothing like in the weeds or anything, because I'm not an in the weeds kind of reader. I have a attention span of a gnat, so I just kind of, you know, wanted to introduce them. So this is just kind of the first part of the book is just a basic introduction to all the different types of storytelling and, you know, what all goes into storytelling and oral storytelling. And then I decided to put the last half of the book. I wrote 25 short stories because I love to write short stories. And they're just all different topics about all different things. Some are super funny, some are, you know, not so funny, but, you know, some are, you know, push the fringe a little bit. That's the beginning of this book, and it was just so much fun to write. I loved it.
Well, we're all going to join in. We might as well start a chorus here. Because I'm sure we all want to say what an amazing job you did with this book. I love Regina Stone Matthews' writing. Every time she produces a new book, it becomes my favorite. But this time, this is truly my favorite. Because it's a tool if you want to write, become a writer.
Yes, yes.
Rose, go ahead.
Guess what I said? I said, Lord, you know, I really would like to try to write a book. And I think now, bingo, I got it. I can do it.
I was going to say, Regina, you know, I was very educated because I didn't read.
Oral storyteller, man. Oh. I'm telling you what, you would.
Yes, you would be.
I was just about to say, I was very educated because I didn't know there are different types of storytelling.
Yes.
So could you just mention just a couple? I like the potpourri.
Okay, yeah, well, this is a good time. But before you do that, before we get into that, I would like you to address the theory that storytelling is a lost art form. You know?
Well, you know, yeah, for the longest time, you didn't hear much about storytellers.
Right.
And when I was approached about going to the North 40 Storytellers Guild, I thought, ew, what is that? You know, is this going to be a lot of kumbaya, you know, crazy people telling crazy? But it's not. It is so good, and it is gaining popularity. You're seeing storytelling in corporate settings where you go to you know, these different kinds of seminars and things. They're using storytelling in it. I did a little workshop with an organization on, you know, on using storytelling in the corporate world. And plus, you're seeing it even ministers are starting to use storytelling because
yes.
mm-hmm. it just touches you. It's just, and if you're really good at it, it just makes such an impact on people. So it is. It was pretty much lost. You never really heard about it, and people that did hear about it had my reaction at the beginning. But once you get involved in it, all the different types of storytelling, and even when you get into fringe storytelling, now those are the stories that are going to absolutely snap you. It's gonna pick at you. It's gonna hit an emotion. You know, whether it's a happy emotion or whether or not it's a controversial type of emotion. Fringe is exactly what it is. Fringe. And but then there's all other kinds of different types of storytelling, and there's folk tales. I love the liars type storytelling where you start to tell a story and it sounds like it's really true, you know, and
yeah.
you start buying into it. Then it gets a little bit more ridiculous and a little bit more ridiculous until all of a sudden you're the inventor of air and people have bought your story all the way to that point. So I love that kind of storytelling too.
Yes. And Rosemary says she particularly loved the potpourri tales. Can you define those
yeah.
for us?
Potpourri. Yeah, the potpourri tales.
Potpourri. Okay, I'm sorry.
Silent.
Yeah,
yes.
potpourri.
Yeah.
Like, potpourri. You know, like the potpourri you spread around your house and everything.
Uh-huh.
But this is a different type. So potpourri is just simply various types of storytelling where, you know, you don't have, you know, you're not like on the fringe or you're not like in a tall tale, and you're just kind of like, you know, just different types of things, you know, and it's it might be something about, you know, why something is the way it is. No, that's pourquoi. Are you talking pourquoi or potpourri?
No, you.
Potpourri. She was talking potpourri.
Okay, potpourri. Okay, gotcha. So yes, potpourri is just a, you know, just various types of different types of stories, whether they're, you know, like whether they're personal stories or if it's just a collection of all different kinds of things. Mm. So just however you want to put that story out there, because you can take that story in any type of direction you want to take it in.
You know, Regina, well, you don't know this, but my daddy was a wonderful storyteller, right, Rosemary? Rosemary
yes.
can attest, because he had a story for every occasion. It was so cool. And when Rosemary has been with my family on many celebrations and holidays, and after we bless the table on like for Thanksgiving, after we say the blessing, my daddy tells one of his stories, right? And he was so good at it. And everybody, sometimes it could be the same one because we would had our favorites in the family, you know? So he
yeah.
would fall in the potpourri, the potpourri tales.
Potpourri, yeah.
Because his stories were like little things about everything. And to this day, a few of them that he told, I still don't know if they were true or not.
Well, those might have been some tall tales then.
Yes.
Yeah, the tall tales,
some
yes,
of them were,
yes,
some
yes.
Some of them
of tall
were
tales.
Tall tales, and yes. I still don't know if they were true or not, but I tell you, they were so good. And while I was reading this book, it just brought warm memories back to my dad's storytelling to us when we were children.
And you know, Regina, too, and as I was reading, I thought about Joy. I remember how you started, and I remember for Joy's father's 90th birthday, she had that script, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, what is she going to do? What are they going to do? But it was such... But I tell you, I mean, she had all these kids all over the place, Regina, and I'm telling you, but it was the most beautiful play that I had ever, oh my God, I had ever enjoyed. It was so nice.
Thank you, Rosemary. You know?
Oh, my God. It was wonderful. So I thought about her when I was reading your book. I said, Joyce, that's right up Joyce Alley.
Well, I am by far not the storyteller that Regina is, or my dad, for that matter. So you would fit right in with him. Now, you tell us, and it's a slew of different categories. You've just mentioned and explained some of them. But there's also some very, the art of storytelling, there's a specific protocol that you speak of, and that there are rules to the art that we should be able to follow if we're serious about storytelling. Tell us about some of the protocol of storytelling.
Yes, so it's always good. You know, I used to think that, and there are some storytellers that just can get up and just start telling stories. Because they're just so gifted in that way. But then there are storytellers, oral storytellers like me, that I like to first write my story out. So when you write it out, you just kind of, you get a feel for how your story is going to flow, and you want to make sure, you know, that you have your beginning and your middle and your end. And you always want to, just like in writing, if you're writing a novel or if you're writing, even if you're writing a YA book or a children's book, you always want to take, into consideration, the conflict of your story. And that's what you want to bring forth first, is that conflict. Because no one likes a story that goes exactly to life, because it's too boring and it's too slow. So you always hit at the beginning with your conflict, and then you build on that, but you don't want to give too much away. So you have different things that, you know, all different types of ways that you can do that, where you start with, like, for instance, you're going to tell a story of a hero, and, you know, here's the hero, and he lives in this town, and everybody knows who he is, and then all of a sudden something happens, and the hero has to go out and fix it. And so they go out and fix it, and then they make sure that when they're coming back to their community, that they bring something back with them, and then they're the hero because they have solved that problem. So I remember one time at the North 40 Storytellers Guild. Oh, and then, of course, let me backtrack. Then, of course, there's the hook to your story.
Oh, yes.
You got to have that hook. You want people, when you first start telling your story, to go, want them to lean. You want them to lean in. You want them to lean forward, because now you've got their attention. And so there's a lot of other things when you're starting to tell your story, and it's an oral story. So there's how you carry yourself, your movements, or if you have props, or, you know, things like that. But with props, for me, you have to be kind of careful with props, because you don't want the prop to take your audience's focus away from your story. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And you know what, Regina?
Regina.
Can you back up a minute and just lay out the five C's for everyone? Because
let's get going. For the five C's, you have the circumstance of your story, and there's curiosity, there's characters, there's conversations, and of course the ever loving conflict. Mm. So Those are the five C's that start your story. So you want to make sure that you have all of those in your story. And one of the things that we did as kind of like a little practice kind of thing in one of our seminars at our Storytelling Guild is we did the story spine. And I talked about the story spine in the book, and how it fits with the structure of a story, and it is hilarious. If you get a group of people, like, you know, say maybe five people stand up, and they just kind of ad-lib the story, and they're going to build one from the other. So you say, once upon a time, and the first person says, you know, says something to that, and then you say, every day, and then until one day, and then it says, and then because of that, and then because of that, mm-hmm. and then because of that, until finally. And when all those blanks are filled in by different people building on what the other person said, it is so funny.
Well, just to, well, Regina, let's just see how it works, because you've got three of us and you make four. Let's,
okay.
You start us off.
Okay, want me to start you off?
Yeah, you start us
off.
Okay.
All right. Once upon a time, there lived this lovely, lovely princess. Her name was Haley. Now, Haley had the most beautiful, long, flowing hair. Everyone loved it. They all wanted to come up and touch it. And then, every day,
Haley took a walk deep, deep into the woods. She loved talking to the different animals that would come to her. She had a way of communicating with them all. But then...
Until one day,
she looked out the window, and there was this mysterious person. She couldn't identify who it was. It was like they were shifting in the shadows. And then she began to ask herself, have they been watching me all this time? Have they really been watching me all this time?
And because of that...
And because of that, she looked so sad, because she thought, in spite of the fact that I have this beautiful hair, they don't like me, but I like me.
And then... Because of that, we're going to come back to me, she got so scared, because what if they don't like me? What if they, oh no, what if they just turn around and walk away and I never see them again and I'm here all alone? And because of that...
Well, because of that, she postponed her walk into the woods and she ran out by the pool, so that she could just sit and think, who could this mysterious person be lurking around?
Until finally,
one day, she realized it was her neighbor. The boy that she had been looking at all the time and had an eye for, and her heart began to flutter, because she said, oh my, does he have an eye for me too?
And ever since then,
she realized, oh my God, I'm so beautiful, because he loves me.
And so the moral of the story is,
do not get Rosemary Rose and Joy telling you a story.
No, there's a moral to the story. There is a moral to the story. The moral to the story is to look within and love you.
Exactly.
Because you are the most beautiful being and you are God's creation.
Hey. Yeah. Yes, that was the moral of the story.
All right. That was fun. You know, Stella said that she had done this in a writer's group and how much fun it was. Right, Stella. It was great.
It was a lot of fun, even though she was wearing me out with all this beauty.
Without script.
And you knew I had to use my Haley bug in that, right? Oh, yes.
We loved it. Well, Rosemary?
I was going to ask you, what is the difference between the myth and the truth of a story?
Great question.
I'm sorry, the myth, usually a myth of a story is like, maybe like you would do, let me see how I can do this. So there's a lot of myths that apply to storytelling. Some people say, okay, I just really don't think storytelling is for me. ours for very many people. But it really is. So the truth of that is that the storytelling is actually for everyone. And if you hear people say, well, you can't use storytelling here, it's kind of silly, you can't use story, and that's another myth. You can use it anywhere. And then there are myths about storytellers being, the only storytellers out there are professional storytellers. Well, that's another myth. Anybody can tell a story. Everybody has a story in them that they can tell. Yes. So, you know, that's absolutely false. And then there is another myth that there are storytellers that really don't write their own stories. They just tell stories that other people have written. And that's not true, because the truth is that there are a lot of storytellers out there that write their own stuff. But they also, you know, use other people's writings with their permission, of course. And then there's also about, there are just some people that are absolutely born to tell stories, and that is true. But there's also, you know, a little myth to that, because you can get involved in storytelling and just start learning it, because it can be taught to you how to tell stories. But I mean, you know, there are people that just can just tell stories. I think Rose is one of those people. She can just start telling stories.
You know what? I'm going to take this time to shout out to Facebook, because we're buzzing tonight. But I'm going to start off with a comment for you,
Regina.
Oh, dear.
Noelle says, thank you and love the story about me. Love, Haley. My girl.
That's my Haley.
And we have hellos to Stella Alexander, Kimberly Baker, Elizabeth Braz, Stefania Roberts, Karen Shears, Jana Lewis Perez, Noelle Matthews, and Leonard Hill.
Yes. Wow. Thank you, guys. And you've got a fellow storyteller listening in with you, Regina.
Yeah, I told Stefania that.
Stefania Roberts is a wonderful storyteller out of Fort Worth. And so I'm sure she's really enjoying this
Yeah,
show.
She said she loves storytelling. Uh-huh. And I said, you are a storyteller, Stefania.
She is. So, wow. When you've been writing since you were a child, Regina. Did you think that while you were doing this as a child, that it was going to bring you to this point of being just a award-winning author and storyteller?
Not at all. When I started writing, I used to write stories in my diary, of course, about, you know, what I had done that day or what was going on in my life, and I thought that was just really cool. But I also, when I got a little bit older, I can remember we lived in Columbia, South Carolina, and I used to put on plays, and my daddy hooked up a curtain in between the pillars of the front porch, and every Saturday I would tell stories and sing terribly, dance worse, and just had the best time doing that. And I would do that for the kids, you know, in my neighborhood. And they would come and sit, and I would tell stories and, you know, just put on a little play of some sort. And that's what I did. But no, I never thought of doing anything like I'm doing now. I did write my very first children's book when my girls were little, and it was just for them, and that was it. You know, I thought, well, I could read it to them, and then when they got older, they could read it, and it just kind of snowballed into where we are now.
Yes, yes. That's really, really great. You know, the book, guys, is If the Story Fits, Tell It. It's written by Regina Stone Matthews, and it is an introduction to the world of storytelling. it defines for you just a maze of the different types of storytelling, from writing short stories to oral storytelling, and introduces you to storytelling competitions. So if there's anything in you that makes you want to explore the storyteller in you, this is a great book to have at your on your bookshelf. So visit us at joyandcompany.org to get your copy. And you know, it's November. We're into the holidays now. So you know we believe that books make wonderful Christmas presents. And this book would be a charm to give to young aspiring storytellers. And you would want to keep a copy for yourself in your top nightstand drawer, because she's got 25 wonderful stories that she tells at the end of the book, and they will ensure a wonderful night's sleep.
And don't forget friends, hint, hint.
Oh. Okay, we're taking it there all night tonight. Yes. So, bottom line is, hit us up at joyandcompany.org and get your copy of this fun and just really great read. And we need reads like this right now for such a time as this.
Yes, it makes you smile.
Yeah, you know. You know, get you some comfort food, a nice warm blanket. This is for you, Stella Alexander. A roaring fireplace, a good book. And there's something else, but it's a personal joke between Stella and I, so I won't say it.
And Haley said, Haley says hello, and she loves us.
Oh, we love you too, Haley. Beautiful, beautiful Haley. We love you.
You know I want you to talk about this. This was intriguing to me. The star. Explain what the star is.
Yes.
So you're talking about
page 24.
Yeah, and you're talking about how we. Let me get to that.
Tell them what the acronym is for to begin.
So STAR is something that when I was first learning about, you know, getting into storytelling, and it's going to be. At the end of your story, you want to give your listener or give your audience something that they're always going to remember. What are they going to take away from your story, like when you get to the end of it? So that's what STAR is something they always remember. And that's what you want them to take away. So whether it's a moral of your story or you know, when you get to the end of it, they say, oh, I can relate to that, or I know that, or I have one of those people in my life, or I'm right there with you, I get it. It's kind of like my story, Dear Dishwasher.
I was wanting to go in there and talk to my dishwasher.
I know, right? We all have the dishwasher written down on our notes.
Well, Dear Dishwasher, and my very first story is A Girl Can Never Wear Too Much Blue Eyeshadow.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, that was cute.
My goodness, yes. Man, did I have blue eyeshadow all over my eyes. It was awful. But that is STAR. That is your takeaway at the end of your story. For a storyteller, the best part of their story is when you start to tell your story and the listener is going, and then what?
Yes.
And they keep leaning in, and then when the story is over, you hear this. And that's your STAR. That's the takeaway from your story. When they've listened and they can relate to it, or it has touched them in some way.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? When I was reading, it took me back to a conversation I was having with my grandson. And we were talking about Hallmark. And he had told us, he talking about, you like those movies, mama liked those movies, all of y'all like those movies. So he began to give me his interpretation of Hallmark. And he says, there's always the protagonist.
Yes.
And he said, they're always saying something. They're trying to win something. They're always falling in love with an old friend or someone they ran into. And it always ends with the person they fell in love with. My eyes are failing me. Sitting or going, getting married to each other. But when I was reading and you begin to break down the protagonist and antagonist, I say, look at this boy. What a conversation for a teenager to be having.
Wow. He knew it. He nailed it, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He may be a storyteller in his own right.
Yes.
He's right.
Regina, we can't let you visit without giving you a special word from our heart. And you know that we do this through Rosemary LeGrand Weekly. She brings forth the wick. Words inspiring change.
She's so into the story. She was trying to get to another story. She forgot about the wick. Okay, Rosemary, get it together.
You see, that's what you do to us, Regina.
Get us all off track.
Indeed. The Word of God says, thank you, Joy. The Word of God says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and those that are called according to his purpose. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I'm here to encourage you, child of God, and to remind you that God favors you. One of the ways that God turns things out for good is that he uses our pain. Because of it, we can minister to others more effectively. That is the truth. We cannot receive from people who have never been hurt or have never been in any kind of pain. You may be asking, how can bad things work together for good? You see, most of the time, even when bad things happen, it will often drive us closer to God, and that's why it's always going to work together for good. Adversities brings us closer to a relationship with our Father. Learn to respond in whatever situation that you are going through. Know that God is faithful, and he promises that he never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So until next time, no matter what you're going through, just be mindful that God's got you. Even in the midst of your pain, he's working it together for good. So may God richly bless you.
Amen. You know, when you were given the wig, and I'm thinking about the stories, all I could think about, laughter is good medicine.
It is. Yes. It is.
Yes, it is.
It is.
It is.
It is.
You know, I know, Regina, that we're running out of time, and we all have a list of the stories that were endearing and funny to us as we read your book. But I'd like to ask you to close us out with maybe like a mini version of what was your favorite story to tell.
Well, I think my favorite story in the book was probably my mother's hands.
Yes. That was endearing.
That was one of my favorites because I can remember one day looking down at my hands and seeing my mother's hands and thinking, I never liked my mother's hands because they were just these skinny little things that just never looked like they should be on a magazine. And I always, you know, just thought, ugh, I hope I don't ever have my mother's hands. And here I was looking at my mother's hands. And then it occurred to me all the things that my mother did with those hands. The dresses that she made me, the meals that she cooked, all the sewing that she did, for friends and, you know, and all the times that I fell off my bike and scraped my knee and mother would fix my knee, and the times that she, disciplined me with those hands and the times that she, scolded me with those hands and and the times that she tucked me in bed and read me a story, because my mother was really big. She loved fairy tales, and she gave me an appreciation for fairy tales, and the times that she sat and read those to me and would tuck me in or would hold my face and talk to me. So I got a little ashamed at looking at my hands and thinking, oh my God, I've got my mother's hands. And then realizing everything that they had ever done in the 98 years that she lived on this earth. And the times that she, every Christmas, mother would make mincemeat pie just for me, because no one in my family likes mincemeat pie but me. And so the picture in the book is of her hands making that mincemeat pie for me, and that was probably the last one she ever made for me. Wow. And I loved it, and I made it one more time after she passed. But since I'm the only one, she would help me eat it, but nobody else will eat it, so I haven't made it since. But I just think a lot of times we don't realize the things that people in our lives do for us, and use their hands to do those things for us. And the most important thing she taught me about your hands is to fold them in prayer. And so that's what I took away from that story.
Oh,
that was probably my favorite story in the book.
Wow.
Awesome. You know, I was looking at the symbolism of the hand in the Bible, and the first thing it says is the hand represents divine approval.
Amen.
So yeah. I am sure God approved all she taught you about her hands and every lesson you got from her hands.
Wow.
Haley told us good night, and she loves us all.
Good night, Haley, and we all love you. We love
Mom
you.
Loves you.
We love you too, Regina, and we just want to thank you for coming by and sharing your new book, If the Story Fits, Tell It, by Regina Stone Matthews. Thank you so much for that endearing story of your mother's hands. What the most appropriate way for us to end tonight's show and go into the upcoming Thanksgiving week. Let me encourage you to remember the hands that have touched you, that have nourished you, and give thanks to the hands that hold you in Jesus' name. Also in this book is a great story about the greatest storyteller of all, Jesus Christ himself. Yes. We love you guys. We'll be back next week with new books and new authors. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for listening. Our purpose is to promote and support Christian literature. If you're an author, contact us at joyandcompany.org. We'd love to be in the midst of your company. And by the way, what are you reading?